Well, happy Mother's Day. I'll start with that. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. We are grateful for all of you and your ministry as a mom. Last week, if you were here for the luncheon, you heard Dan read a passage out of Proverbs chapter 31. And that passage, famous passage about the virtuous woman. And as he read that, I know there were a few chuckles, as some of you ladies maybe were thinking, well, who in the world can live like that? I mean, this woman must be some superwoman to be able to live out all these things that are mentioned there. And perhaps even if your husband was next to you, he may be, have maybe even been elbowing you and saying, hey, honey, why don't you live like that? I mean, live like that woman. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But though our culture has certainly changed a lot since the days of Solomon, there are some truths that never change, and I want to look at one of those truths today. If you'd open your Bibles to Proverbs 31, I just want to focus on one verse out of that today, Proverbs chapter 31. We're going to look at verse 30 toward the end of that chapter. Verse 30, if you're using the church Bibles today, it's on page 472. Again, Proverbs 31:30. Says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. That verse begins with the words, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, or beauty is vain, has the idea of emptiness there. Though this was written long ago, yet how relevant is that message for us today? Rings very true. We live in a culture where charm and beauty are elevated to a great degree. And I might add a great unhealthy, really, degree that we see charm and beauty in our culture. What is charm? We hear that word charm. Well, what does charm mean? Charm implies that there are words spoken that seek to entice or to draw someone in. And sometimes you hear that word charm used in the magical sense, like someone is spellbound, they've been charmed, and they're just spellbound by another. And as you just think about, as you've lived your own life, how many marriages have you known that have been torn apart because someone has been, quote, charmed by another or spellbound by another? But Scripture is clear that charm is deceptive. Charm is deceitful, is what it is. We need to beware of flattery. We need to beware of words that are spoken that lift us up so high that just make us want to fly the coop, so to speak, if someone speaks to us in that way. And for those of us here today who are married, a good question that we need to ask ourselves is, what's coming out of my mouth? Am I speaking words that are kind? Am I speaking words that are loving and building up my spouse so that they are not easily enticed or easily charmed by another? And certainly there's no guarantees. We can do all the edifying building up and sometimes terrible things can happen. But are we doing our part? Are we speaking godly words to encourage our spouse? When it comes to beauty, there is this thinking, especially in our culture, that our value or our worth is dependent on our outward appearance or how much beauty we have. And I think it's true, especially for the ladies. There's a great pressure among the ladies to look a certain way and to have this outer beauty. You know, us men, we can forget to shave And what do our buddies say? Hey, I like the growth, right? And they say, I just was lazy. I didn't feel like shaving for a few days. Men can get a beer belly and what have, they're rejoicing. They're high-fiving. They're saying, they're patting. They say, hey, you know, I worked hard. I worked hard to get this, right? But not so with the ladies. Not so at all. As you perhaps go to the Walmart or supermarket and you check out the magazines that are on the rack there, and you see the covers of the magazine, often you'll notice What beautiful woman there. So men, I would encourage you to quickly turn your eyes to the bubble gum or maybe the Reese's peanut butter cups. That'd be a better thing. But if you do look at the, I confess, I've looked at the cover, and you see the articles that are mentioned in the magazines, what are they usually about? They're usually about outer beauty. They're about skin tone. They're about hair treatment. They're about flat tummies and all these. This is really what it's about. It's about this outer beauty. When's the last time you saw a magazine with a picture of a woman on there who was not this model-like woman? And it said, now there's a beautiful woman, a woman who fears the Lord. That is beautiful. You'll never see that in our culture. Why? Because beauty is seen by the outer appearance from our culture. And not only in the magazines, but it's on the TV as well. Helen and I, we usually try to catch the 10 o'clock news, right? I say try because usually about halfway through, one of us is doing this, right? We're nodding off. And if we both make it through the 10 o'clock news, that's quite an accomplishment, isn't it, for us? And what usually happens is we'll doze off right about the time Don Paul is giving his weather thing. I don't know what it is about weather. Just if you're not interested, it just kind of puts you right to sleep. But we'll doze off and we'll blink. And the next thing you know, we'll open our eyes and the news is over and there's a different show on. And this show, I think, is it called Access Hollywood? Is that the name? That's the name of the show. And of course, being too tired to move the recliner up and get out of that position, I'll watch it for a couple minutes. And the show will be about who's wearing what. And I'll look at it for a couple minutes. I'll say, Helen, I can't believe this. There's actually a TV show about who's wearing what. And Helen will say, what? All right. So I'll say, why didn't I go to bed when I was falling asleep? But it is amazing that there can be a TV show about what Hollywood star is wearing what their dress is, what their hat is, and who's gained 10 pounds and who's lost 10 pounds. And our culture is drawn to this. It feeds into these kind of things. And even as Christians, it's easy to fix our eyes on the external. But Scripture teaches that God is more concerned about what's happening on the inside of us and what's going on the outside. 1 Samuel 16:7 says this, "For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." The truth is, you could see a woman that is this model-like woman, but if on the inside she has jealousy and envy and pride, God looks and says, oh, that's just downright ugly. That's what God says when he looks at the inside. He sees the ugliness on the inner. And so to the ladies who are here today, seeing how it's Mother's Day, I'm going to pick you out here. Are you more concerned with the outer or with the inner? Do you spend more time caring for your hair and your skin and your tummy and your toenails, or do you spend more time caring for your very soul? Now, I'm not saying that you should just pop out of bed every day and never comb your hair and, you know, never take a shower. It'd be pretty hard to witness, you know, if you never took a shower. Could you imagine that? You go up to someone and say, now, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven or hell? And before that person even answers, they're saying, man, talk about dying tonight. I think this guy here, she smells like death. That's all I smell. And not much evangelism going on there. No, it's okay. It's a good thing. Take care of yourself. Comb your hair. Take a shower. Put on lipstick if you want. Doesn't matter. It's all good. Take care of yourself, but don't focus on the outer beauty. Take a look at what's really going on the inside. Ask yourself, what's most important? My outer image before people or my inner life before God? You see, God sees the inner life. And this is what God desires in the inner life. 1 Peter 3:3-4 says this, "Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of clothing. But let your adorning be with the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is in God's sight is very precious. Unfortunately, some pastors, some teachers have taken that verse to the extreme and said that ladies should never, you know, do up their hair. They shouldn't wear makeup. They shouldn't wear jewelry and whatnot. But you got to be careful, because if you're going to apply that interpretation to the first couple phrases, the third phrase says putting on of clothes. So if it's a sin to braid your hair and a sin to wear gold, then it's a sin to put on clothes. Well, that's not true, is it? Because on this side of the Garden of Eden, God says we should be wearing clothes, right? Before the fall, Adam and Eve could walk around the birthday suit. It was all good. But now we should wear clothes. So it's not that it's sinful to have braided hair and to dress nicely with jewelry and whatnot. That's not the issue. Peter says this. He says, the issue is this. When people look at you, can they say this? Now that is a beautiful woman. And the word beautiful has nothing to do with your hairdo, has nothing to do with your nice diamond necklace, has nothing to do with your flat tummy or all that. The beautiful has to do with everything that comes forth from the heart, namely a quiet and gentle spirit. Well, what does that mean? It's important to note that the word quiet there does not mean that a woman is never to speak or never to talk. You know, if you want to be really godly, you just stick duct tape on your mouth and you'll never say nothing throughout your life. No, it's good to speak. There are good things that you ought to speak. The idea of quietness here is an inner peace. There is this inner quietness, this inner tranquility that a woman has so that it produces an outer peace or an outer tranquility, an outer quietness. What would the opposite be? Bickering, quarreling, whining, complaining. There's this turmoil going on the outside because there's something wrong on the inside. Again, what comes out stems from what's in. And so if there is this disobedience, this lack of submission to God, out comes all those things I just mentioned. To have a quiet spirit is to say this, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, I open your word. And it says, Philippians 2:14, to do all things without grumbling and complaining. Therefore, I submit to that. And so my soul can be at rest because I'm going to honor God. And therefore, I'll have this quietness about it. And that's what's implied there by the word quietness. When you think of having a gentle spirit, gentleness is a fruit of what? It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And whether we're a lady or a man or a child, we're all called to live according to the Holy Spirit. And when we keep in step with the Spirit, the product will be gentleness. That will be one of the fruits that are displayed in our lives. But if we say, you know what? I'm doing it my way. There's going to be a rough spirit that tends to be displayed in our lives. When it comes to charm and beauty, are these things that you focus on? And sometimes we may not only focus on them for ourselves, you know, how we appear, but oftentimes we can judge others by their outward appearance. Not sure how many of you caught the news this week, but there was a story in the news about a woman named Connie Culp. Anybody caught that? She had been tragically shot many years ago, and right in the face, and deformed and everything. And she was the first one to receive a face transplant, if you saw that in the news. Tragic story, but one of the neat things that, as she spoke to the media, this is one of the things that she said, very interesting. She said, "Don't judge people who don't look the same as you do, because you never know. One day it might be all taken away." Incredible words from a woman who, again, has to go through this now, having a face that just doesn't look quite, quote, normal. And so it's easy for us to judge others based on the outer appearance. And often we judge others based on our preferences, right? What we like. If we like it and they don't have it, then we judge them, don't we? If we're skinny, and someone else's sin. We may judge the hefty person and say, well, why don't you lose a few pounds? If we're hefty, we may judge the skinny person and say, man, that guy needs to put on some weight. If we have a full head of hair, we may judge the bald guy and say, why doesn't that guy go out and buy some Rogaine or something? If we like our hair short, we may judge the hippie and say, come on, get with the times, the 60s, 70s, they're over. We tend to judge others based on what we like. Now, if we don't like tattoos, we judge the person with tattoos. If we don't like this, we judge that, and so on and on and on and on. We judge by our preferences. But as Connie Culp says, don't judge, because you never know. You know, you never know what might happen. But also, you never know really what's going on in someone's heart. And you can never really look at a person and just by the way they're dressed or by the way they look, you can't really judge and say, I really know what's going on in that person's heart. You know what that means? That means the next time you see a teenager with purple hair and spiked all over the place and dressed with, you know, those dog things and everything else, you know what? You don't know what's going on in his heart. And God calls you to love him as Christ has loved us. Not to judge, but to love. Love that person. Although today is Mother's Day, and we may focus more on moms, you know, all of us, men, women, and children, would do well to, as our scripture verse says, to fear the Lord. It says the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. What does that mean, to fear the Lord? Some of you may have different views of what it means to fear the Lord, depending maybe on your upbringing. Perhaps you're one who thinks that to fear the Lord is to dread him. In other words, you can never get to know him because he is holy. At times, people have said, you know, I can't come to church because the roof is going to cave in. You ever hear people say that? The roof is going to cave in on me if I walk through the doors. And part of me likes that statement. You know why? Because the person understands at least this much, that God is holy and that we are sinners. And if God is to treat us justly, as his justice really requires, then really the roof should fall in on us right now. Well, looking up. But if he was to display his justice toward us, you know, that would happen to us. And so it's good in one sense that the person understands that God is holy, we are not. But I don't like that statement for this reason, and that is, though God is holy, God is also a God of grace. And the person fails to see that God is also a God of grace. And so that we can know God because of his grace. God is not some God that we can never draw near to, but we can know him. And the grace of God is most clearly and loudly expressed through Jesus. And when we repent of our sins and believe in Christ, you know what that means? That means that we can now know God. We can take the promise that says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you through the precious blood of Christ. That's made possible. You see, we can know God. Though he is holy, though we are wretches, we can still know him. And so we no longer need to have this dread of God. And you know what? Even if the roof does fall in on us today, you know what? God has promised this: I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And if today we all breathe our last breath, we can be assured of this, that Jesus said, just like he said to the thief on the cross, today you're going to be with me in paradise. We can take that comfort and that hope today because we know him. This is what is taught in 1 John 4:18. The Apostle John says, there is no fear or there is no dread in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. We know that Jesus has absorbed all of our punishment on the cross. Therefore, there is no longer this dread of a holy God. But as we sang today, Jesus, you are my friend and my brother. And we can know the Father in an intimate way. And so to truly fear God is to know him according to his truth. To know that he is both holy on one hand, and to know that he is both a God of grace and mercy as well. And when we come to grips with that, You know what? We truly can fear him, and to fear him is to love him. It's to love him and to live for him. That's what it means to fear him, to submit and obey to his word and to his commands. And so to the ladies again, let me read that verse that says, "Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Well, do you fear the Lord? And if you're a mom, how can that be lived out on a daily basis as you go through your momly duties, or whatever you want to say there? How does that live out? Well, if fearing God means loving him and living for him, and the Word of God says the only way that we can live for him is to live according to the power of the Holy Spirit within us, then that means that we must have a lot of Holy Spirit control in our lives as moms. What does that mean? That means you're going to need a lot of Holy Spirit patience. When your child maybe struggles to learn how to tie a shoe or go pee-pee on the potty, it may take some Holy Spirit patience. It may take some Holy Spirit love when your kids may not honor you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You may need some Holy Spirit joy when the toast is burning and at the same time there's some diapers that need changing. You will need God's peace, Holy Spirit peace, when you come upon one child fighting with another. And you will need God's gentleness when you have to comfort that hurting, perhaps even broken child that is before you that's coming to mom for help. You're going to need Holy Spirit control, Holy Spirit love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, all of that to be a God-fearing mom. And to the rest, you know, one way that we can show that we fear God is to obey him, is to honor his commands. And commandment number 5, back in the Old Testament, number 5, that's it, is honor your father and your mother. And today as a nation is a day we set aside to honor our moms. And perhaps for some of you, you know, your moms, they're not here with you. But you know what? You can still honor your moms by giving thanks to God. Giving thanks to God for their lives, for how they influenced you. You know, Dennis shared even this morning just how his mom touched him. Maybe not through the words, but just listening, being there. And you can remember your moms in that way and honor them. If your mom is still living, then make sure you honor her today. And there are probably 101 different ways. You can do the flower thing, the candy thing, the dinner thing. You can call her. You can do whatever. There's whatever. But do this. Ask God. God, what would you have me do today to honor my mom? I can give you all kinds of advice, but ask God. God, what do you want me to do to honor my mother? Most moms live sacrificial lives, and most moms have this deep place in their hearts for their kids that most of us cannot even comprehend. And so today, may all of us not take our moms for granted, and may we give thanks to God, the giver of life and the giver of moms. Let's pray. Our Father, I thank you that it was your design to create male and female, that you would create mother and father. And Lord, that would be a display of your very image and your likeness. Lord, both male and female are made in your image and in your likeness. And Lord, we get a glimpse of you through both mother and father, through male and female. Lord, there's often so much tenderness and comfort that we see in moms, and we know, Lord, that is a reflection of your very tenderness and your comfort for us. God, we thank you for your faithfulness, and God, we thank you for your sacrificial love. And Lord, again, we see this so often in moms. And Lord, so we thank you for that. Lord, help us today to honor, honor all moms, Lord, in a way that would glorify you. And Lord, not just to do it this one day, but to do it each and every day of the year. Lord, knowing that that is a command of you. So Lord, help us to do that. Lord, I pray that you would bless the moms that are here today. And Lord, just lift them up. Let them know that, Lord, you love them so deeply and you know everything that they think, all their pain, all their hurt, all their trials, all their joys. Lord, you know it all. So may you fill them with your great love. May they be controlled by your Holy Spirit as they continue to be moms, as they live out their days. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.